Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, The Killing of the Demon Agasura. Beginning with text number 6, which has no purport. So we'll just read the translation. Sometimes Krishna would go to some what distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way they enjoy life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Text 7 to 11. I think we're just going to read the last verse. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. The last one we're going to read. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam narandarakena sakam vidaru krita punya punja itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena Vayashitanam naradarakena Sakam vijaru krita punya punja. Ashitanam Naradharakena Sakam Vijaru Krita Punya Punja. Ladies, Itam Satam Brahma Sukhanubhutya Dasyam Gatanam Paradaivatena Maya Shritanam Nadarakarikena Sakam Vijaru Krita Punya Punja. Just read it word for word to the last verse. Itam. In this way. Satam of the transcendentalist. Brahma Sukhan Anubhutya. With Krishna, the source of the Brahma Sukha, Krishna is Parabrahman, and from him originates the personal his personal effulgence. Dasyam servitorship, gathanam, of the devotees who have accepted, paradaivatena, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maya ashritanam, for those in the clutches of material energy, naradaraka, Dharakaina, with him who is just like an ordinary child. Sakam, along with Vijaru, enjoyed Krita Punya Punja. All these boys who had accumulated the results of life. Accumulate the results of life after life of pious activities. Translation, all the boys would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, and others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees. and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitating flying birds by running after the bird's shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently, and others imitating the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do, and others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for Gyanis, designed to merge into the effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who, for ordinary persons, is but another ordinary child. The coward boys have accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives. We're able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? Purport. As recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasmat Kena Kinap Yupayena Manakrishne Niveshayat. Bhakti Rasamrita 1-4. Somehow or another, whether one thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human child, as the source of the Brahman effulgence, or as the origin of Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should concentrate one's full attention on the lotus feet of Krishna. This is also the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva dharman parijaya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Srimad Bhagavatam is the easiest way of directly approaching Krishna. Ishvara sadyo ridya virudite tra kritivi shushushivi takshanat. Diverting even a little of one's attention towards Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. This is the purpose of that of the Krishna consciousness movement. Lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvita samhita. The Bhagavatam 1.7.6. The secret of success is unknown to people in general. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, being compassionate towards the poor souls of this world, especially in this age of Kali, has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. The Bhagavatam 2.12.13-18. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced or who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have to change this body. Tata Dahantara Praptiri. We do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. Tyaksva deham panarjanma naiti mam eti swarjana. Therefore, a distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists, and yogis, yoginam api sarvesham, as well as for people in general, janma labdha para pumsam anta narayana smriti. If we can somehow or another remember Krishna, Narayan, at the end of life, our life will be successful. Here it explains that if somehow or another we think about Krishna, that's auspicious. But all things are not equally auspicious. For that reason, we have Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to teach us how to think of Krishna in the most auspicious way. Now, the basic principle to learn how to think about Krishna in the most auspicious way is, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadek shanti te gyanam gyanina stattvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And the formula is submission is inquiries, submission and service, or submissive inquiries and service to the self-realized soul. Now, the self-realized soul should be self-realized. In other words, one can only explain, especially about the transcendental subject matter, effectively as much as one has actually understood themselves. Without experiencing the transcendental subject matter, our words are just words. And when one experiences the transcendental subject matter as much as we do, our words turn into reality. They convey the reality of what one is expressing, that the words and what they're expressing are non-different. On the other hand, to find a self-realized soul nowadays is not exactly equal, is easy, except for the fact that he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound, that Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. In other words, in the heart of the self-realized soul, as it says, Tarko apratishta shutiya vibina nisavarishir yasyana vina dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajno yena katasapanta. We can discuss the subject matter from different points of view. We can also read different scriptures to help illuminate. And we can even hear from other sages about some subject matter. But ultimately, one has to find a person like Srila Prabhupada, a self-realized person whose pastimes that are being described here are actually, he's at least observing them, is not participating in them when he hears about them. In other words, within his heart, the pastimes are actually going on. Therefore, he could tell us what's actually going on, and he can convey us the information by which we can also come to the platform to experience what's going on, what's being described in Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, everyone else can more or less explain theoretically what's going on, as far as they've understood, but unless they've experienced it, they can't really appreciate it that much. It may have some, especially the 10th canto, the other cantos in Bhagavad Gita, they're aimed primarily at the intellect, and therefore one can get different levels of realization intellectually, which is supposed to lead us towards realizing that we're not this body and Krishna is God, etc., etc., developing a faith. But faith is meant for ultimately rendering service to Krishna in such a way as that Krishna becomes pleased. And therefore he reveals himself. Tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyana jam tamaha na shamyam vavashto gyana dipena bhashvata. For those who are constantly devoted and serving me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me, but ultimately I dwelling in their heart, destroy with the shining, out of compassion for them, I dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, the pastimes are actually wave after wave of transcendental love and ecstasy, all inspired by the loving ecstasy and compassion, the loving ecstasy and enthusiasm of Krishna, which come like waves in the ocean of transcendental love in the spiritual world. And the devotees being enthused and encouraged and overwhelmed by desire to please Krishna because of his overwhelming affection for them, they also want to do whatever is going to please Krishna. So even these pastimes with the cowherd boys, they imitate the jumping with the frogs, etc. They're not just jumping with frogs like some yogi or some acrobat nowadays. They're jumping with the frogs. They're hearing they're insulting their own echo in the will because it's pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is enjoying it, seeing these boys doing these things. And because Krishna is enjoying it, therefore they're doing it. And because they're doing it, Krishna is enjoying it. And because Krishna is enjoying it, they're enjoying it too by doing it. So these are not just ordinary activities. But unless we feel them, unless we come to the platform of actually feeling what the cowherd boys are feeling and feeling what Krishna is feeling, we can only offer our obeisances, our respects to these pastimes and try to understand there is a many level, there's at least one level that we're only on the surface of, and that to go deeper we have to go understand the first 9 cantos in the Bhagavad Gita. One cannot think that just by imitating the pastimes or by intellectually studying them and talking about intellectually all about them, you know, how, what kind of demigods came down, or the Munichari gopis, the Vedachari gopis, the Nityasiddha gopis. One can explain it intellectually, as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does, but it's only to understand something intellectually, one should understand. And at the same time, those who are deeper into the philosophy of the 10th canto, they can also understand the mood of these different gopis also, and how they were similar and how they were different. But it's the feelings that actually we're looking for. But first we have to think before we can feel. But in order to think and feel, we have to serve, will. So whatever little we can think about, whatever feeling we have, if we will to carry out service to Krishna on that basis, then our thinking will expand, our feeling will expand, and our willing will expand. But if we only think about these pastimes, which most people don't even think about them, but if we only hear and we don't feel something, and therefore we're not willing to do anything, then after a while our thinking will disappear, our feeling will disappear, and our willing will completely disappear. So we have to learn how to think about these pastimes properly. Generally speaking, when we get in, Prabhupada didn't lecture on the 10th canto, because basically we're not really qualified to hear the 10th canto. But we should hear it anyhow, just to get some idea what transcendence is about. Otherwise, we'll remain impersonalists. Unless we hear about what the spiritual world is like, we remain impersonalists, but that doesn't mean we understand what the spiritual life, what the spiritual world is like completely just by hearing about it in our present state. Because the spiritual world is just full of transcendental emotions called rasa, not material emotions, but spiritual emotions, which are all full of pleasure and different varieties. Different types of bhava, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, stayi bhava, vyabhichari bhava. So this is incomprehensible for a conditioned soul, what this is all about. We can intellectually understand it. We can study it. But unless one is actually on the transcendental platform, one should not imitate it. Or think that's by discussing it, we're actually realizing it. On the other hand, we could try at least to think about these pastimes. We can try and visualize them, try to see what's going on. At least see the cowherd boys, for instance, see what they look like. That's why the description is there. So we're not ineligible to experience it completely. We have to learn how to experience it. How the cowherd boys would, first they were decorated with gold and jewels and all and different types of ornaments. And then they were putting on flowers and fruits from the forest, and leaves, and decorating themselves further like that. The unguents, the minerals from the forest, they were smearing on their body, and now they're playing, jumping like frogs, making the graceful movements of the swans, shouting into the wells and hearing the echoes, jumping from branch to branch. Obviously, they're not ordinary coward boys. Try to jump from branch to branch in the tree. Make sure you have your iPhone there or some phone so you can call up. They can take you to the hospital. So this is, even these things that they're doing is inconceivable. Lord Nityananda, his friends were so ecstatic sometimes, they'd actually dance on the twigs of trees, and sometimes they'd take their arms and they'd uproot big trees out of ecstasy. They didn't do it to show their strength, they were just so ecstatic they just pulled the trees up. And they had so much spiritual energy that they were able to do it. But this is inconceivable for us. On the other hand, more valuable for us actually in one sense, although this is also valuable, to understand what the spiritual world is like, is to read Bhagavad Gita and learn how to inquire submissively and use his body in service. What we can do now, we can't jump from branch to branch. We probably can't even jump like a frog. We can speak like a frog, but we can't jump like a frog. We can't even very well imitate a frog. What to speak of imitating a peacock or dancing like a peacock? Peacocks are very graceful when they dance. But we could try to serve Krishna with our present senses, whatever we can do, whatever we can understand. Try to do our making prasadam nice, serving the deities nicely, distributing books nicely, relating with the devotees is the best we can. And then gradually, Krishna, if he's pleased, he'll clear our hearts and then we'll be able to understand and appreciate more deeply what this 10th canto is all about, what all the whole Krishna consciousness movement is all about, what the Bhagavad Gita is about. It's not that one realizes the 10th canto and living in the spiritual world and then someone speaks the Bhagavad Gita and he becomes disgusted. Why are you talking this neophyte philosophy to me? I'm in love with God. What do I need? But actually, even the Bhagavad Gita, as it says, is a flow of nectar from Krishna to Arjuna. It's not an ordinary book of philosophy. It's a flow of nectar about love. There's nothing Krishna does is ordinary in any of his incarnations. But the Mayavadis think like that. Or the Prakrit Sahajiyas, that the 10th canto is nectar and this philosophy is dull. Because they're dull and dry. Therefore, they think Krishna is speaking nectar to Arjuna is some kind of dull and dry philosophy. But out of the different types of literature we have, Bhagavad Gita is most helpful for us and for others, especially for preaching. And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us how to realize what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. It illustrates it. It's not different from it. It's an illustration of it. And the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is perfection, which is further perfected in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that gives us an opportunity to participate even in our most unfortunate situation in the service of Krishna in the material world now, in a way that's easy, but is not different from the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. We may not realize it, but we have to get some intellectual faith in it so we can go on, because Maya will always tell us that Krishna is ordinary, devotional service is ordinary, the devotees are ordinary, the only thing extraordinary is me. I'm extraordinary. But because people don't think I'm extraordinary, therefore I think everyone is ordinary. But actually, everything about Krishna is extraordinary, and we become extraordinary when we realize that. Otherwise, we remain ordinary. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes you meet these people, they say that they like Bhagavad Gita, but they don't like Srila Prabhupada's translation. They like Gita in general.
Yeah,
how,
sure.
How should we respond to these people?
Say Hare Krishna and go on to the next person. Yeah, they're Mayavadis. Usually Mayavadis are just materialists, that's all. They don't like the idea that Prabhupada's emphasizing devotional service. That Krishna is God. He's so much God that you're supposed to serve him. They like to read Bhagavad Gita and find out that they're actually God. They take whatever they want out of it. Because Bhagavad Gita is nigakalpatura galitampalam. They can get whatever they want. For the jnanis, for the karmis, it's karma yevadikaraste. You should do your duty. For the jnanis, it's bhavanam janmanamate. You can realize everything after many lifetames. For the yogis, yoginam api sarvesham. You just meditate on Paramatma in the heart. So there's something for everyone in Bhagavad Gita. So they like, of course, people are going to like parts of it. But when it comes to sarva dharma purichaya, surrender everything, they don't like that at all. They don't want to surrender. So, and, you know, appreciate that they're appreciating parts of the Bhagavad Gita. And I wouldn't spend so much time, because unless they've come to inquire from you submissively, you'll just get into an argument with them and spoil whatever appreciation they have for the Bhagavad Gita. So it's very dangerous to try to talk too much to people who don't appreciate Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Because we may spoil whatever appreciation they have for the Bhagavad Gita in general. If we talk too much to them. Trying to emphasize the conclusion. And they've gotten part of it. They appreciate it, and that may lead them in the future to other parts. But if we try to tell them about therefore Krishna says this is confidential knowledge. It's not to be explained to everyone. It's meant to be explained to people who potentially could become devotees or those who are devotees, not to people who are actually non-devotees. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for that lecture. My question is, what is the main criteria, quality of self-realized person?
He loves Krishna. He's addicted to Krishna. Without being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, there's no question of being self-realized. Just like there's no question of realizing oneself unless the sun is there. You can't see yourself unless you see yourself in the sunlight. So unless one is addicted to Krishna, there's no question of self-realization. Unless one realizes one's relation with Krishna, one can't understand oneself, one's real self. Our identity is not apart from our relationship with Krishna. Anything else? Kuala Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Kidai.